Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, national audience. But I still have another announcement, particularly directed to our local audience at one of our flagship stations, the new 710 WOR in New York City. This week, we mourn the passing of a real luminary in the field of complementary and alternative medicine, Dr. Frederick Vanini, longtime host of The Heart Show, heard here on WOR. Dr. V, as he was affectionately known by many of his patients, was really one of the good guys early on. And I worked with him for over 20 years. He got it about important themes in preventive medicine, like insulin resistance and the value of low-carb dieting, the importance of vitamin supplements and IV nutrients and bioidentical hormone replacement with testosterone and natural estrogen and progesterone. He was really an enthusiast. You never met a more genial and intellectually curious guy. He was very, very open and creative in his practice. He was an avuncular guy. He was gracious, always had a kind word for me and my radio program, and was a frequent guest on the previous incarnation of Intelligent Medicine, which was called Health Talk. We did lectures and seminars together. And he started out as a vascular surgeon, and he became kind of disillusioned with just slicing and dicing people. And then he got into preventive cardiology, and he had a very, very popular practice here in New York and on Long Island. And he will be missed by many of his patients. Many of our listeners also listened to his program, The Heart Show. And so condolences to his family, Dr. Frederick J. Vanini. All right, let's take some phone calls. 888-302-3684. Let's talk now to Tom in Cleveland, Ohio.
Hello, Dr. Hoffman.
How you doing?
Good, good. I have a question relating to kidney decline. I have a close friend. He's 75, diabetic. He has a filtration rate, GFR, of 50.
Right.
And his primary care doctor has said nothing about the GFR of 50. And my question is, how low does the GFR have to go before intervention is began? Mm-hmm. And the second part of the question, what therapy do mainstream doctors have for kidney decline? And also, what therapy would you offer?
Okay. It's an essay question, but let's talk about the kidney decline that occurs in diabetes. You can measure kidney function by looking at the BUN and creatinine. That's on a standard blood test. And then you can calculate from that something called GFR, which is glomerular flow rate. And the glomeruli are these little tiny filtration units within your kidney. And when they get damaged, you don't have the filtration ability. So it's a little bit like your filter gets clogged, you know, in a simplistic way. And as a result, you're not filtering out toxins. And you know, when people in profound kidney failure have a very low GFR and toxins accumulate in their bloodstream, and then they need dialysis to remove the toxins, the byproducts, the waste products of digestion and metabolism. So what is considered a normal GFR is anything over 60. I wish I had a buck for everyone over the age of, say, 60 who has a GFR under 60. You know, that's very common. GFR of 50 isn't bad at all. It's just, you know, when you get down to like 30, 20, that's when you start having difficulties. And diabetes certainly compromises kidney function. But the double whammy is when you have both diabetes and hypertension. That's when those are the major reasons why people go on dialysis in America, is because they don't just have diabetes, but they have it coupled with high blood pressure. The high blood pressure puts pressure on these tiny filtration units. And then there's destruction of the units, the blood sugar damages the units, and the pressure damages the units simultaneously, and then you get a decline in your GFR, and, you know, your creatinine starts to go up, BUN goes up, and then you're headed for dialysis. So another way, another subtle way to measure damage to the kidney is with a test called microalbumin, urinary microalbumin. And it's a cool test because I see it improve when we undertake lifestyle modifications with patients, get their blood pressure down, get their blood sugar under control with a better diet, the right supplements. We see the microalbumin decline or even like disappear. It's a sign that your kidneys are leaking protein. And when that happens, it's a danger signal. So with the conventional treatment for kidney decline is basically, what they will do is they'll sometimes give you what is called an ACE inhibitor. It's a drug that treats blood pressure, and it somewhat protects the kidneys. And that's about it in terms of medical treatments for kidney decline associated with diabetes. And that just is not enough. So it's critical to optimize the blood sugar, and that can be done through a very rigorous low-carbohydrate diet. That's the way to go, 100%. Optimize your weight, optimize your insulin. If you have non-insulin-dependent diabetes, so too much insulin. If you have insulin-dependent diabetes, well, then you might need some insulin. And then optimize the blood pressure. Well, you do that through diet, exercise. There are certain supplements that are very beneficial for preventing kidney decline. Fish oil is among my favorites. Fish oil is really terrific for protecting the kidneys. But there's also evidence that supplements like alpha-lipoic acid may, since that's a real terrific antioxidant, have an impact on preventing kidney decline. There may be a little bit of a vitamin D connection there, too. But clearly a whole panoply of nutrients can protect the kidney. You may want to take kaolic aged garlic extract, which has a good impact on blood pressure. These are part of a concerted strategy to head off kidney decline, which is, it's early enough in the case of your friend that we can do this because the problem has not advanced. And this is the time for a critical intervention. Do you know if your friend is amenable to doing the diet modification and the exercise and that stuff?
Yes, I believe so. His A1C is 6.7, down from 7 about nine months ago.
So now he needs to get it under 6. He needs, or even better, 5.8, because he's still at the level of 6.7. This is still creating chronic insult to his kidney. And it's you're going to slow the progression by improving the hemoglobin A1C, but you really want to get it down under 6, better yet 5.7 or 5.8. Then you don't have to worry about the kidney damage. Go ahead.
You're saying that the protein in the urine is better than the blood test for the creatinine or GFR?
Yeah, it's a very sensitive test. Yeah, that's a really sensitive test, and I use it all the time to monitor my patients who we put on lifestyle modification for diabetes and hypertension. I mean, actually, even before you see changes in the creatinine or GFR, you can see changes in the microalbumin, and that's a danger signal that the kidneys are already taking a beating, and we want that microalbumin to go to zero, and when that happens, then the kidneys are going to be stable. So,
okay.
So that's the approach I would take. Just a urinary microalbumin. It's a simple test, and it can be performed easily. All right.
Sounds like good advice. Thank you very
All right.
much.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 for questions, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort. support, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Hi, baby. How's mommy's little, ooh, your breath?
Ooh, Max, your breath.
Love stinks.
Don't let bad doggy breath come between you and your pooch. Try Nutrident Complete from Alabone, the natural dental chew that's clinically proven to clean teeth better than weekly brushing. Nutrident's patented cleaning action fights buildup plaque and tartar, the number one cause of doggy breath. Made in the U.S., Nutrident scrubs your best friend's teeth while he chews, so you don't have to. Nutrident from Nylabone. Cleans like a brush, tastes like a treat. Choose delicious chicken, grain-free peanut butter, and puppy bacon varieties. Available at PetSmart, Petco, and neighborhood pet stores. To save money, visit Nylabone.com. That's Nylabone.com.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Do you want to make your brain bigger? We're going to give you some suggestions on how to literally, not just figuratively, we're not saying to make you smarter. We're talking about literally expand the size of your brain. But first, let's take a call from Michael, who's in Manhattan. How you doing?
Dr. Hoffman.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Sorry to hear about Dr. Vanini. I didn't see anything in the papers this morning.
Yeah, I don't know that they've put it out in the press, but the word is getting out. He passed away earlier last week, and we mourn his passing.
Mm-hmm. How old was he?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Anyhow, I picked up this. I've been using ubiquinol.
Yeah.
And the last time I went in, they had something new there instead of the regular ubiquinol. They had this ubiquinol plus PQQ.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me a opinion on that?
Yeah, PQQ is, I can't even quite remember what that stands for, but it's
I can read it to you if you want.
Go ahead, see if you can tackle it. But if you can pronounce it, I'll send you a free book. Okay, I don't even know if it can.
Pyroquinolone quinone.
Yeah. Pyroquinolone quinone. Thank you very much. PQQ.
Okay.
Good job. Good job. That's pretty good. That's yeah. You get an honorary medical degree. So here's the deal. PQQ is also something that's involved in the mitochondrial chain, which is a chain of reactions that help to spark plug energy utilization. And it's sort of a CoQ10 wannabe. It is suggested by some that it plays a crucial role in energy metabolism within the mitochondria. And I think evidence for that is somewhat scant. I've looked at the research on it, and it's one of those things totally on my radar screen. I'm looking at it, but it may not quite be ready for prime time. I'm not sure if it offers a lot of additional benefit to ordinary CoQ10 or ubiquinol, where the research is actually very strong, very robust. PQQ is a little newer. It's not been that well researched. So, you could take it, but it's sort of a premium version of coenzyme Q10. They're always looking for that. They're always looking for a way to distinguish a product from its predecessors.
Right.
So, with fish oil is great. Everybody knows about fish oil. They said, well, now we have fish oil with krill, and that supposedly enhances the benefits of the fish oil. I'm not so sure. I'm not I'm sort of dubious about all the very exaggerated claims made about krill. Similarly with PQQ, one of the biggest promoters of PQQ is Life Extension Foundation. They do very good work, and you can read up on it at lef.org. And if that, the science that they explain there appeals to you, you can give it a try. I'm just not sure. I haven't
very
really
much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I haven't jumped on the bandwagon yet. All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right. This is important because a lot of people suspect that their brains are progressively shrinking. And, in fact, that is the case. Our brains do shrink with age. And one of the scary things is that you can actually do an MRI of the average older person, and you will see a comment from the radiologist, decline in brain volume. That is not a good thing. Or decline in white matter. And white matter is really what governs your thought processes and your intellect. So, however, there are exceptions to the rule. And I've seen nonagenarians, people in their 90s who've had brain MRIs, where they say, you know, it looks pretty good. Essentially, it looks like a normal, you know, maybe a middle-aged brain. It certainly doesn't look like an elder, shrunken brain. So do you want to arrest the decline in your brain shrinkage? Or even better, do you want to make your brain bigger? This is super cool. New research, and this, they looked at a lot of subjects in this study, over 1,000 postmenopausal women, and they found that for each uptick in the consumption of EPA and DHA, that's from fish oil, eicosapentaenoic acid and docosahexaenoic acid, each uptick in that omega-3 index was correlated with a 2 centimeter larger brain volume. Doesn't sound like very much. It's like a little bit of a pinch, but I'll take a little pinch of extra brain matter. And most importantly, a 50 millimeter greater hippocampal volume. 50 millimeters, not very much, but it's measurable. And the DHA seemed to be the business end of that equation. The EPA had less of a correlation. The authors conclude that while normal aging results in overall brain atrophy, lower omega-3 index may signal increased risk of hippocampal shrinkage. And they need to do studies to, they claim, to clarify whether higher EPA and DHA levels may slow the rate of hippocampal or overall brain atrophy. So here's I'm going to offer another solution. It's not part of the study. But, you know, you want a way to offset brain shrinkage? You can say do crossword puzzles. No, that's the evidence on that is inconclusive. Exercise, even simple walking vigorously at least 3 or 4 times a week, increases something called BDNF. That stands for brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Neurotrophic means it makes your neurons grow. And yes, even when your neurons are being lost, they're constantly being repleted. And you can help to provide Miracle-Gro for your neurons by the simple act of exercise. Not have to be walking. It can be any kind of exercising you like that does the trick. Okay, let's take a call from Maureen. How are you doing, Maureen? Maureen's in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I have just gone through 6 months of chemo for breast cancer.
Yep.
And one of the side effects that I ended up with was like pins and needles in my hands and my feet.
That's neuropathy, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right, causing me, so my hands I can kind of deal with, but the feet.
I have a question for you, Maureen. Were you given a supplement called glutamine during that time, L-glutamine?
No.
Okay, because that's really good for preventing neuropathy. That is something that should be given at the time of certain types of chemo to prevent this from happening. What I will say is that it's a lot tougher to deal with it in the aftermath. You know, it's kind of shutting a barn door after the horse gets out. I like to use L-glutamine when patients get certain types of chemo. It's even some oncologists recognize it. I don't know why they don't use it all the time. But L-glutamine helps to prevent neuropathy. Also, if you're having neuropathy now, it's tougher to reverse, but you could try something called alpha-lipoic acid, or you could take some intravenous glutathione. It works better intravenously as an injection than orally, because glutathione is not that well absorbed. But I would give it a shot with alpha-lipoic acid Alpha-lipoic acid can be helpful for certain types of neuropathy. Also, acetyl-L-carnitine, or ALC, can be helpful for some types of chemo-associated neuropathy. But these things should be given before, not after, unfortunately. All right, 1-888-302-3684 for your questions on Intelligent Medicine. This is Dr. Hoffman.
Most guys spend very little time on personal grooming during the winter months. To help men look and feel great, Dove Men Plus Care expert and dermatologist Dr. Jeffrey Benabio offers these tips to help men avoid irritation this winter.
If you've spent all day outside in the cold, a hot shower is tempting. But hot water makes it hard for your skin to retain moisture. Instead, use lukewarm water. It keeps you warm without the harsh effect. Also, the winter sun still presents risks. Use moisturizer with minimum SPF 15. Lastly, wearing multiple layers can cause you to sweat, leading to underarm irritation. Protect yourself with a non-irritating deodorant like Dove Men Plus Care Fresh Awake Antiperspirant, which cares for skin with one quart of moisturizer and also provides powerful 48-hour odor and wetness protection.
A few simple steps can save men months of irritated skin this winter. For more information on tips and products that can help, visit DoveMenCare.com.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. All right, stroke is, I think, the number four cause of death in America. And the vast majority of strokes are what are called ischemic strokes. In other words, the blood flow is cut off, but usually by a small blood clot. And so the way to deal with those types of strokes is to anticoagulate. There's all kinds of anticoagulating regimens out there, taking an aspirin, taking Coumadin, or some of the newer medications that are non-Coumadin medications purport to thin the blood and make it less likely that you're going to get a stroke. But they do nothing for the remaining 15% of strokes, which are called hemorrhagic strokes. In fact, some of these blood thinners may somewhat increase the risk of hemorrhagic strokes. While they limit the ischemic strokes, that's 85% of strokes, they may somewhat increase the risk for a devastating hemorrhagic stroke. Hemorrhagic means like a hemorrhage, like bleeding into your brain. And that can be equally devastating. So here's some research that suggests that a common nutrient may help prevent against hemorrhagic stroke. Researchers say that consumption of foods and supplements that are rich in vitamin C could help reduce the risk of hemorrhagic stroke. The new study investigated levels of vitamin C in people who suffered from an intracerebral hemorrhagic stroke. That's a blood vessel rupture inside the brain. And compared them to a control group that had not suffered from a stroke. And what they found, these were French researchers, they found that people who had suffered a stroke had depleted levels of vitamin C, while those who had not had a stroke had normal levels of the vitamin. And they suggest that more research is needed to explore specifically how vitamin C may help to reduce stroke risk. And they also suggest that some of the accoutrements of vitamin C, many of the foods that deliver vitamin C also have high levels of bioflavonoids. And bioflavonoids, remember, they used to be called vitamin P or substance P. And the P stands for permeability. And permeability means leakage. And leakage from blood vessels may be part of the scenario of an intracerebral hemorrhagic stroke, is that a leaky blood vessel may leak blood into the brain, causing damage. And the bioflavonoids, along with vitamin C, may confer protection. It's also worthwhile considering that when first diagnosed, the condition of scurvy was first recognized by a Scottish physician named James Lind. And as a result, the British Navy started to provide limes to their sailors who were suffering from scurvy. You know the expression, scurvy knaves? They were all scurvy knaves until they became limeys. They, on these long naval voyages in the 1700s, they gave limes to the sailors. They had a weekly ration of limes that they consumed to stave off scurvy. Well, what was a symptom of scurvy? Little hemorrhages on the surface of the skin. That was one of the first signs, like easy bruising and hemorrhages under the skin. Fragility was one of the early signs of scurvy. So, yeah, vitamin C with bioflavonoids may prevent hemorrhagic strokes, but also research that's previously published in the journal Stroke, there's a journal called Stroke, found that daily supplements of 500 milligrams of vitamin C significantly reduced both systolic and diastolic blood pressure. So that's even more than you're going to get from like an orange, right? It's hard to get 500 milligrams of vitamin C by just eating citrus. And, of course, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and stroke. So, you know, these studies say, yeah, you know, don't bother taking your vitamins. Forget those antioxidants. Well, think again. We really need them. Let's talk to Joan, who's out there on Staten Island, the forgotten borough of New York. How are you?
Okay. I have ITP, and my platelet count is up to 30. Now, is anything natural that I can take for that? I'm on prednisone, which I'm coming off, and I'm on N-plates.
Right. Okay, so for our listening audience, ITP is, this is one of the reasons I paid the big bucks to go to medical school. It stands for idiopathic thrombocytopenic purpura, which is a fancy word that means that your platelets are disappearing, and we don't know why. It's idiopathic. That's a fancy word that means that we're idiots. We can't figure out why. There's an unclear causation of that disease. It appears to be autoimmune. The body directs an autoimmune assault, specifically targeting the platelets and destroys them. And then you lose your platelets. So what's the big deal with that? Well, platelets are necessary for blood clotting. So if you have no platelets or very low platelets, you start to bleed. Did you notice that you were having bleeding symptoms with this, like bleeding gums or bruising?
In the beginning, nosebleeds.
Okay.
But I haven't had that in a while.
Right. Okay, so one way to suppress any kind of autoimmune reaction is to give you prednisone. And that'll work, but the problem is the prednisone, it has a devastating effect. So it raised your platelet count. I mean, normal people have platelets over about 120,000.
Right.
Yours is 30, so you're not bleeding, but you're close to the danger point. If you go much below that, you'll start bleeding again. And this has got to be a temporary thing. You're also starting on, what is it, Agrinox, or what is it?
Well, N-plates.
Okay, I don't even know what that, there's a specific drug or just several drugs that are used for people with ITP these days. And maybe they're waiting for that drug to kick in so that they can wean you off the prednisone. So, you know, what I would do with ITP, I don't think there's a specific remedy for ITP, like take this vitamin, it cures ITP. But I do believe that patients with ITP deserve a workup to make sure they have adequate levels of certain critical nutrients that slow the progression of autoimmunity, such as, especially vitamin D. Vitamin D would be important. Fish oil is usually good for autoimmune diseases, but you don't want to thin your blood too much with fish oil because already you have low platelets, so I'd be cautious there. And I would also look to see whether you have any critical food intolerances, because sometimes we've seen patients with ITP where they might have a gluten intolerance, so they might have I didn't see the patient, but I read an article where a patient was sensitive to sesame seeds, and the sesame seed intolerance was causing her immune system to go haywire, and when she stopped having sesame seeds, her ITP normalized. I mean, this is probably a rare event, but it's worth checking to see if there's something that's a trigger of an autoimmune response. But usually this disease has to be treated medically or sometimes with an operation called a splenectomy. You take the spleen out, and the spleen kind of filters out the platelets. That's where the platelets are getting jammed up. And then as a result, your platelet count normalizes, and you can survive very nicely for many, many decades without a spleen. There are a lot of people without spleens walking around doing fine. They just have to take certain precautions, get certain vaccines, because it is an immune organ. But, you know, that's a fix, ultimately, for this problem.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. More of your phone calls coming up. 888-302-3684. And remember, every week, even though we are going to be going off temporarily at this time slot on WOR, we will still broadcast to our national audience between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can call us at 1-800-302-3684. And then you'll hear yourself on Sunday nights from 11 p.m. to midnight on WOR.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
I am so glad we ate before we got on the plane.
Oh, me too. Would you like some gum or mints?
What kind do you have?
Spry gum and mints, made with xylitol from the folks at Clear. Both refreshing and good for you. Perfect for when it's not possible to brush your teeth.
Oh, like right now on the plane?
Exactly. You know, bacteria can't break down xylitol, which leads to better dental health. I love it. My teeth feel squeaky clean and my breath is so fresh.
That's great. Give me some. Oh, I wish we could find something to help with the dry air on this plane, too.
Well, Clear makes an all-natural xylitol spray for your nose and sinuses that soothes and moisturizes while not being addictive or harsh. Perfect for airplane travel.
Wow, Clear products really do all that?
Yes, they do. It's the xylitol in them. My whole family uses Clear xylitol products when we travel.
Where can I get them?
You can find Clear and Spry at your favorite health food stores. You know, like Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, and Sprouts.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and Dan is our next caller. Hi, Dan.
Hi, doctor. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm 52 years old. I've always been active in life, you know, exercise, never did drugs or anything like that, never smoked. Actually ran marathons my entire life, run races, 10Ks.
Yeah, great.
So I went to the doctor. I'm actually married to a nurse, as a matter of fact. I went to a doctor for the first time in 35 years. And I was diagnosed with malignant hypertension.
Wow.
My blood pressure was 187 over 110.
Yikes.
Yeah. And they drew blood and everything. And my good cholesterol is only 29. And all the cholesterol added up is like 500.
Yeah.
And they're telling me that there's an enzyme in my liver that's elevated because of the cholesterol.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so here's the deal. You know, sometimes I think that the drugs out there that we prescribe for cholesterol are really overused. But, when Lipitor was invented, it had your name on it. We should call it Lipidan, because you've got some kind of just rip-roaring metabolic susceptibility to high cholesterol, probably genetic, you know, with a low HDL and with a very high generation of cholesterol. And so you may be a candidate for a medication, for sure. What I'm saying is that, you know, there's a reason for virtually every medication out there. Many of them are overused, you know, like the osteoporosis medications. They use them on all women who have any kind of sign of a little bone decline. Well, osteoporotic women may need strong medications, but the vast majority of women don't. And same thing with cholesterol-lowering medications. But your cholesterol of 500, it's a real danger.
They have me right now on statins.
Sure.
And I'm taking 300 milligrams of Qcotin with it.
Sure, yeah, good.
And they also have you on a blood BP medication, which is at 5 milligrams. It begins with an A, Almadone, or Almadin, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Almadin is a kind of wine, I think. But no, I've looked, it probably some newer medication that helps to control high blood pressure out of control. Okay,
well, the pressure down right now, the pressure is around, it goes between 146 and 82 and 70,
okay, so,
70.
So it's better controlled. But I got a question for you. Do you know what your triglycerides are?
You know what? My wife would know. She said that they're elevated, though, my triglycerides.
Okay, so here's the deal. Whenever you have high triglycerides, that's a sure sign that you're eating too much in the way of carbohydrates. So you need to go on a low-carbohydrate diet. That will somewhat help your problem. And it'll also clear up that what is probably fatty liver, because you were told you have elevated liver enzymes. What's happening is the fat that is not being processed in your blood, it's accumulating in the liver. So very high blood fats sometimes end up clogging the liver, causing fatty liver. And, you know, yeah, there's a metabolic problem there, but the metabolic problem can be solved with a lower carbohydrate diet. So what are you eating typically for breakfast? What you're probably on a very low cholesterol diet, right? You don't, you're afraid to eat any meat or any eggs or things like that, right?
No, I haven't had eggs in a month.
That's a mistake.
I turkey sandwich for breakfast I have, basically.
Okay, so let me just tell you, I can't really give you very careful and precise guidance on this on the radio, but you need to find a doctor or a nutritionist who can put you on a low-carb diet. You know, the cholesterol, the dietary cholesterol is going to be headed off by your statin drug. So you really don't need any more to restrict your cholesterol intake. What you do need to do is restrict your carbohydrates, because the carbohydrates get metamorphosized in your body into higher levels of blood fats and ultimately affecting your cholesterol. And you could take the edge off the amount of medication that you take and maybe help better control your blood pressure by going on a low-carb kind of diet. That doesn't necessarily eat tons and tons of bad quality fats, but just eating lots of vegetables and lean meats, and less in the way of fruits, fruit juices, grains, pastas, that kind of stuff. Even those low cholesterol foods are going to be bad for you. That's the secret to unraveling your problem. But it's good you had your checkup, because you would be in trouble without some kind of medical intervention. Thanks
for
calling.
Well, the only reason that saved me was I do the treadmill 40 minutes every day.
Right. So good. So that, yeah, I mean, that's probably been your saving grace, and you got to keep that up. Hey, thanks for calling. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.
drhoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Here's a warning and a new study on problems associated with acid-blocking medication. Now, there are tens of millions of Americans taking these drugs. They go by names like Acifex, a new one is Dexalant, Nexium, Prevacid, Prilosec, which is now available as Prilosec OTC, over-the-counter, Protonix, and yet another one, Zegarid. These are medications that block stomach acid, but according to a new study, big study, researchers compared 26,000 patients in whom B12 deficiency was diagnosed and a bunch of patients who didn't have the B12 deficiency. What they found was that if you were on one of these powerful acid blockers, you were far more likely to have B12 deficiency. So this is added to our already previously noted concern that a very high percentage of patients who take these so-called proton pump inhibitors have magnesium deficiency. That's already become a black box warning on the prescriptions for these types of drugs. So clearly, you're creating long-term use of these medications. Some real downsides. You disrupt your intestinal balance, increase your risk for conditions like C. difficile, diarrhea, traveler's diarrhea, and now we know that nutritional deficiencies are common in patients who take these types of medications. All right, just one more time, I'm going to announce that we're having a great seminar at the Hoffman Center this week. There's still room. You can sign up. Call us on Monday morning and reserve your place for an emergency summit on the war against natural medicine. We're going to push back against some of those studies that claim to show that supplements are worthless or even dangerous. We've got lots of information that's going to provide you with ammo to push back against the supplement skeptics. Just call the Hoffman Center, 212-779-1744 on Monday, and we'll see if we can find your reservation for that seminar on Wednesday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Hoffman Center. Thanks for joining us. Have yourselves a great weekend. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.